My lords, ladies and gentlemen, if there are any lords here, why aren't you in the house? Good evening. My name is Tim Jones, and I chair the Financial Services Foresight Panel and the E-Commerce Task Force. I'm going to argue this evening that although foresight is excellent, it isn't remotely realising its full potential yet, and therefore by a sort of definition of is it working, I would say no, it's not working yet. But the good news is it's getting better, and there's every chance that it can realise that potential. Fundamentally, I think foresight is a great idea. It's a great idea because so much of our time is spent in the here and now, today's issues, today's decisions. It's difficult to wrench yourself out of that and try and propel yourself another 10 years on to see where things might have got to by then, to see how insights into where things might be in 10 years would inform and change some of the decisions we make today. As ever in something like this, it's the people who get involved that are key to the success of the initiative. And I've found it a wonderful networking opportunity. I've come across people being involved in foresight through my involvement in foresight that I would not have come across otherwise. And we've helped in the financial services, for example, to open up debate, so that I've involved consumer lobbyists and journalists in the financial services subgroups, which I think has given them an insight into the way that policy is made in the financial services industry and given a very rapid feedback mechanism to financial services practitioners of what consumers and people at large through the media are likely to think about issues that affect them. The other thing that's good is that the quality of support from the OST, he said incredibly sycophantically, is excellent. The people that support me in financial services and e-commerce are superb. There arguably aren't enough of them, and I'll come back on to that. But the issue really is that if you stand back from it and just ask yourself honestly, what percentage of major resource allocation decisions over the last few years have been impacted by the foresight process? My guess is less than 1%. So just think about all those decisions that companies make, all those decisions that government make, all those decisions that tertiary education as a sector makes, and how many of them really, honestly, have been impacted by the work of the foresight program. And I'd say not many. Now, we have stolen foresight in the nicest possible way from the Japanese. The technique of bringing together government, business, and education is essentially a Japanese one that goes right back to the 1950s and with American influence and others, and led to the Japanese getting a very strong grip on what it thought were their priorities for Japan Inc. And they studiously implemented that, and the rest is economic history. I think that what we're doing here in foresight should be a process leading towards the creation of some kind of strategic framework for action for UK Inc. for the next 10 years. As Julie said, there's an enormous amount of work going on at the moment, and that's part of the problem. There's so much going on that you're not quite clear what to read. Now, the answer is you must read these nice ones here because they're outside and they're the financial services one. There's four of them. They look the same, but it's a trick. They're actually different. And then there's this chap here that's even more exciting because it's got lots of colours on the front, and that's the e-commerce task force one, and you must read that as well. But after you've read those two, or the five, then what do you do next? And the issue here really is that there's a very large amount of kind of signal. There's an awful lot of stuff, an enormous amount of data being chucked out at the moment by the various panels. And there are clear overlaps, and quite right too, because the same issues keep coming up as different people take a different view of the same subject. And the problem really is the problem that Oscar Wilde had all those years ago when he said to a friend, "I apologize for writing you a long letter. I haven't had time to write you a short one." And that's the goal now, I think, for us in foresight, is to try to put resources against understanding the themes that are emerging from this work and reducing the amount of output and reducing the number of topics so that we focus on a series of topics and gain clarity around those so that we've got something which we can market. Now, part of the problem here is that the sort of people that you want to get involved in Foresight are almost by definition too busy. I'm too busy. Most of us in this room are too busy. And that means that it's difficult to get enough of our attention and our time to make the process work. Now, in the financial services area, I sort of fixed that by going down on bended knee and begging. It was quite a lot of fun, actually, begging McKinsey and PricewaterhouseCoopers, Anderson Consulting, Boston and the Henley Center to work below their normal, totally exorbitant day rates. This is Chatham House this evening. And to provide support for the various panels and sub-panels. And that worked, but I shouldn't have had to go down on bended knee and ask them to work below their day rate. There should have been the resources in place. I think this process will work best when we have enough resource, not a massive quantity, but enough, so that you can get the right people who don't have much time, and there's no use pretending they do, and if you try to get them to do more, then less will happen. To get those people supported by quality analytical resource and reflective resource and facilitation resource so that we can drag out of those busy people the insights that they have got. And that's what I think there needs to be a ramping up of, because if that process was happening and if there was coordination across the facilitation and helping resources of the different panels, it should be easier to direct people to extract the themes from Foresight and to write challenge documents that say, okay, I am now employed, I have read all these 15 panel outputs, and I believe that the six key issues emerging are these. What do you think? Now, Julie's team in the OST, I'm sure, can do some of that, and will try to do some of that, but I think that this topic is so important that it would be worth getting together with the OST folks, the best of the London strategy consulting brains, and pay them their day rate, and make this a very important piece of work for them, so that we can start to extract answers. My second problem, though, with Foresight is, in a sense, I think, there's a very significant danger that we're talking to ourselves. That this is a classic chattering classes activity, right? Now, we are all the sort of people who have come here on a Tuesday evening rather than go home and watch Emmerdale or whatever it is that people are doing at home now. And that marks us out as a pretty strange bunch, I've got to tell you. Most people have gone home to watch Emmerdale, okay? Now, so we're enthusiastic about this stuff, and there's quite a lot of preaching to us, the converted, going on. And that gives the kind of feeling that there's a lot happening when I'm not actually sure that the people making those resource allocation decisions are actually getting the message. There's a danger of circularity. And that brings me to the real challenge of what to do with Foresight and how to manage Foresight beyond November and the final publishing of the reports of this round. I think the whole thing will need refreshing. What we've had now over this past 18 months is a very good, and I think, from what I've seen, better than last round, so I think this is gaining momentum as a process. We've had a very good series of reports produced. From the point of view of the financial services panel, we don't want to kind of do that again beyond that, all right? That would be a very incremental, another 5% activity. And a number of people want to stand down, but a number of people want to continue. And suggested at the last Foresight panel chairs we had with Lord Sainsbury that perhaps we might regroup the whole activity around emerging themes. Oh, blimey, that was mildly controversial, I can tell you. And I had a lot of people saying, well, my panel's not going to stand down. Oh, good Lord. Oh, Lord, no, we're going to go heavily into the sunset. So there's a fair amount of sort of, I got a sense of trenches being dug. But I think that we have got a lot of stuff that's of extreme value here. And the point is to refresh the process so that in the next round we can then tackle topics with that. Because I believe that the networking effect of that would be even better as you'd trip over people that you really wouldn't trip over again. So far, OST has successfully used PR people, and we've had QBO supporting us for the launch of financial services and e-commerce. But I don't think that's sufficient. What PR people do is try to understand what your message is and then work out how best to communicate it, and that's their job. What we need is something more than that. We need people to actually try to analyze what the message is rather than just receive the message. Okay, all a PR company can do is just receive all these different messages and say, okay, what's your target audience? How do I reach them? And how do I achieve that end? So there's some process of analysis to go on here, which will help a lot. Linked to that, I think we need materially to sort out the website. For those of you of a technical leaning, most of the website, as far as I can see, is in PDF, Acrobat format. Now, that's a very sort of, it's a technical format for holding text and pictures and things, which is very suitable if what you want to do is to download the lot and print it out and then read it. Okay, that's really what Acrobat's for. What it's hopeless at is linking you between different parts of the site. If you want to link through the site, you've got to do it in something like HTML, when you can click on words and then get zapped to somewhere else. Okay? And so we've got to rewrite the website into HTML, because the whole point is here that people will find the themes as they trawl around through from topic to topic inside the website, able freely to communicate from financial services to retail to materials to healthcare to aging population in a way that will just be informed by their desire to chase an issue down. That's the way that we'll get some growth and some, you know, wood for trees emerging from this. The benchmark for me, and I'm going to close at this point, the benchmark for me would be that there's a certain lady who is an extraordinarily successful television presenter at the moment, and she's following in the footsteps of Magnus Pike and James Burke, and I will think that foresight really is getting there when Carol Vorderman thinks that it's okay to do a foresight-focused program on Channel 4. Thank you very much.